Oh, that's a good question.
It's in. We're on.
Oh.
We're on.
We're on.
Oh, oh wow. My goodness. What?
We did it.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't want to go through that again.
I don't blame you.
That was actually awful in so many different ways. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a very, very late VR Crewcast episode 7. Maybe is that right?
Something like that. Sounds good to me.
I think it's episode 7. Basic.
I don't know numbers.
Well, just in general, like don't know numbers.
No, I didn't have much fancy book learning.
No, me either. Brad looks like the smartest guy in the room at the moment. You know, is he even
Cyberpunk?
What is he looking at in there?
I don't know. Are you even part of the show?
I'm in my VR chat home. I got y'all up on one monitor. I got chat on the other monitor. Got some music playing in my home. Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Oh my God.
Nice.
So that's fancy.
It is fancy. Is that like your favorite headset now?
It's keep me in VR like all the time. Like I don't exaggerate when I say that. Like there's no, I realized like last week I was wearing the headset on my forehead. I'm like, why don't I just wear it and kind of chill in VR while I do everything else pretty much the same way anyway. So it's fun. It's a fun headset.
You look like a Neo human, man. You're like living in the year 3000 right now.
Meta human.
I'm loving it.
I need to draw some eyebrows though on my forehead.
Oh my God. Next episode, please.
I'll put some angry ones. Yeah, yeah. We'll do it. We'll do it.
I need to quickly sort out my camera because I've had no time to do that today and it is doing all sorts of focus and weird crap, making me look pants. Not that I look any better now. Thank you all for joining us. I got the guys back in here for this week. We got Wes and Roots for Virtual Strangers. How you doing, guys?
We're here, man. Like we made it. to be honest, I'm not feeling the best, but I'm feeling better now that we got things underway.
What happened?
I've just been a little under the weather. I haven't been feeling well lately.
Oh, okay, man. Mentally, you're good.
I feel amazing. I don't feel sick at all. This man legitimately thinks
that he is better.
But
than
I'm doing really good, actually. And what was I gonna say? I can't remember now. Oh yeah, I'm ready to download Switchback and try it for the first time. Well, the second time.
Oh.
I finally got my own key, so I won't have to slum it on the Virtual Strangers account, and I can actually start again. Which is
nice.
Cool. I can do it right after the show.
Has Dee already played it though? I think she's played it, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has actually. She's got a copy of it herself, and she said it scares the hell out of her.
Yeah, I'd be interesting to see how you react to that because I've watched some clips on like Facebook, which I was expecting, you know, people, and it's doing what Russia Blood did to some people. So it's quite, when you get like wrapped up in what the community's doing and I guess reviewing games and stuff and the hardcore VR people, when you see the people outside of that bubble, like they're scared shitless, which is so good.
Right.
Yeah,
right, but like the general public hasn't been playing horror games for the last 7 solid years. You know what I mean?
Exactly, dude. Exactly that. Next up, we have got Alex Escape from Between Realities. How you doing, guys?
Yo!
I thought we all had to join in then.
Yeah.
Yo!
That's right. Coming to you, man. Live from Stockholm, Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Nice, dude. Nice. Where are you staying? Looks like they put you in the attic.
It is. Yeah, I'm on the top floor of this hotel called the King's Garden, or at least that's the English name for it. Oh,
that's where we stayed.
I thought it was. I was looking at the map. That is an excellent hotel.
It's pretty awesome. The breakfast in the morning is just phenomenal, dude. Like, so good. But yeah, I mean, this why the reason you stayed here is because it was recommended by Resolution Games, who I visited today, who also recommended that I stay here when I was in town.
Well, that's bloody awesome. How you doing, Scooby? You good?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm back after 3.5 weeks of 4 different states traveling around. Very minimal sleep every day. So I am trying to recover, you know, trying to play as much VR as possible and sleep as much as I can. So, but I'm good.
No,
how's your daughter feel getting her dad back? You were so excited.
Oh my god,
to spend time with her, right?
I know. I got home and she's like 30 now. It's insane. That was the best part, man. I think I hugged my kid for like an hour and a half straight.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is lovely. I bet was she like, get off me?
No, she was squeezing as hard as I was.
That's awesome, man. Like if I try and give my little girl a hug, we end up like giving each other dead arms and stuff. It's got to a funny age. But yeah, that's cool. So what have you guys been up to? Oh, and obviously we got Sadly Spreadly, who we did sort of talk about briefly, but how are you doing, man, with your crazy headset on? You good?
Good. I this past week has been like a data mine frenzy for Steam VR since we had a new update with actual stuff to look into. So it's been an exciting week. Yeah, and it's wild though. My brain gets all weird during these weeks, just like any other week maybe, but it's fun. A lot of exciting stuff I'm finding.
Yeah, man. So when are you dropping a video for this stuff, or can't you say?
Oh god, it was supposed to be out yesterday, then I was like, you know what, I have some more stuff here I need to reorganize, so it's within the next couple days for sure. Yeah,
nice, bro. Nice. Cool. So has anyone been playing anything and not data mining this week?
We played Demio Battles today.
Oh, we played that, Scuba, didn't we?
Yep.
And what did you think?
Well, all I can say is that it was fun.
That's good.
That's all I can say about it. But yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, it'd be cool, man. It'd be cool. Is it is that VR and flat screen? I can't remember. Or is it just VR? Or I can't remember.
I can't say. Yeah. I'm sworn to secrecy about all of the information that I got today, but I'm not sworn to secrecy about the Spatial Ops experience that I had, which was pretty cool. I'm pretty sure you guys have all played Spatial Ops by now, right?
Yeah.
Did you do the wave shooter thing?
Yeah, single player, which I think is a really good move for them. You know, it's kind of like Space Pirate Arena and Space Pirate Trainer, right? Like, they bring a lot of value to each other. Like if you're just buying the multiplayer room scale experience, you really don't have any value for it if you're just like sitting at home by yourself. So they're adding the single player mode, which really allows you to get a lot more use out of the game. And, you know, I mean, it was cool. There's like nothing groundbreaking about the gameplay there. You know, you're using pistols, shotguns, sniper rifles, grenades, you know, typical weapons, typical wave shooter mechanics for the most part. But the use of the mixed reality is really what sets it apart from the other experiences. You can like put physical items that are in your room and use them as barriers and like build them into the space, which I think is my favorite part of it. So it's cool. You know, if you're looking for something MR to do like at a party or something, I think that would be really good. But in terms of just an actual game, nothing groundbreaking there, you know, nothing that really caught me off guard or that I thought was like amazing.
Nice. Okay, man. Yeah, I didn't even know there was a single player coming to it. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it turns your wall basically into a portal. It just like knocks down a wall and then you can look through it. And like on the other side is a whole huge room. And there's quite a bit of distance that the enemies can be in the room. Like they're way the fuck back there and you're like using your sniper rifle and they're like, it like helps use a sniper rifle. So cool, you know, not groundbreaking, but very, very cool. And if you're looking for a reason to use your Quest Pro for some MR gaming, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. The cool thing is that later in the game, like as the waves get stronger and stronger, they'll come out of the portal into your real world because then they'll start to be able to get through. Right. And that's,
yeah, they have like kamikaze style enemies that run in and then stand next to you and explode after a couple of seconds. So there's multiple times where I'm actually like moving out far away from them in my room to get, so that way I'm not within their blast radius.
That's literally all I use my Quest Pro for now, is mixed reality stuff. As much as the lenses are nice, I just prefer my Quest 2 because it's so comfortable with all the mods and stuff.
Have you tried the local dimming? They just added the local dimming for PCVR.
No, is it good?
I don't have one. I don't know. That's why I was asking you.
Oh, sorry. No. Has anyone else tried it? Recommend it?
Better than not having it.
It's better with it then. That's all we need.
You'll notice like blooming, but like that's just the way it is. But I still think it's better than having it turned off for sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. I saw a post today from a guy who used to absolutely hate Meta, called Six, I think his name is on Twitter. And he posted like,
Six Live?
Yeah,
I think his name might have been Six. It's like, no, that's Six, bro.
It's definitely Six. Well, it's C-I-X, isn't it? And he posted today about like how Quest is, like, as a bit of tech from launch to where it is now, had the most amount of updates. And it kind of makes you think, you know, a lot has happened in such a short space of time. It's been pretty incredible.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, honestly, it's only until recently that I've even really started to kind of see the reason to do MR gaming. You know, like for a while, I've just not really been impressed by any of the MR experiences. I'm like, I'd rather just wait for AR and like do it legit when it actually is a real AR headset. But, you know, in Austin, I got to use the Vive XR Elite and I did the mixed reality demo of Yuki. And I was in a crowded room. So it was actually kind of nice because I felt like I could move and not bump into the people who are around me. And like having that spatial awareness, I'm starting to realize is probably really, really huge, especially for people who are new to VR. You know, there's like a barrier for comfort in terms of like being disconnected from your surroundings. And any kind of game that encourages you to move your body like Spatial Ops, I think really can benefit quite a bit from that MR experience. So that way you still feel grounded in reality, but you're starting to like layer on VR. And the HTC guys were, you know, made a great point. And they were like, yeah, this is actually a good way to get people comfortable in full VR because you can do like, you know, 90% mixed reality or 90% pass through, 10% VR, and then like change that till you get to the point where it's like, okay, 40% VR, 60% pass through, and like work your way to 100% immersion. So I'm starting to see why everybody's been making such a big deal about MR lately.
Yeah, because that's definitely looking like the direction that Meta are going. Is that right, Brad? You think like the next headset from them is probably going to be an MR?
Oh yeah, I mean even Valve's heading in that direction too. Like all the big companies are going for it. It's gonna be like a varying level of how much people focus on VR, because every MR device is still a VR device. But like, yeah, every large company MR.
I mean, are you thinking what I'm thinking, where these are gonna be just like they're gonna try and blow people's minds with experiences? Or I mean, can we get a full blown MR game? Can that happen? You know, because I haven't come across anything like that.
I don't think MR is going to be that gaming focused, to be honest. Like, I think VR is still going to be like the place you go for gaming, because like MR has like a lot of, from a developer standpoint, you have to like plan for everyone's room configuration to make something really immersive. And that's where like MR kind of has its weaknesses. Like, sure, you can have like amazing computer vision that can like map out everyone's rooms, but like everyone's rooms might be different shape, different size, different width. So like you might have like a zombie game, for example, in MR, but like all it's going to be is opening up the wall and zombies come at you.
Yeah,
whereas I don't think that's as, personally, I don't think that's as interesting as like immersing you in a custom tailored environment where they can expect the player to just stand in a certain place. And just, you know, MR is gonna be like good for like I think co-presence and like you know, I know we were laughing at Quest Pro for productivity, but like seeing for the first time seeing how comfortable a like headset can be with like micro OLED displays, for example, like it's gonna become more of a serious thing. And like for I do see where Meta is going. Not just Meta, but other companies where they just want to like have your keyboard or like your mouse or your desk like in that VR view. There's a lot of value there for everyday people, and then you can just switch to VR for gaming. So I think it makes sense.
Sounds good. What about you then? What you been up to, Wes? And I know I'm so sorry you're ill, but feeling better.
I'm all right, man. You know, same old for me. Going to work, coming home, playing VR. I've been playing Vertigo 2, which is amazing. You know, like Roots, I just finished Switchback.
Nice, dude. Nice. And I also forgot to completely ask you last week about Crossfire. Because
Eric
touched on it and said it was like one of the best VR experiences. I think visually, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I can't remember what he said. Well, how was it? Like, because I'm very interested in that game personally. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it does look very good visually. There's an impressive variety of weapons, and the enemy AI is pretty solid. It was a bit more arcadey than I was expecting. When you see something that's like almost photoreal like that, you tend to, you know, expect it to be like a more of a military sim, but that's not what it's like. It's very much like playing a shooter in the arcade, where you just have waves and waves of enemies and you never stop firing. But it was good, man. I was impressed with it. From a technical standpoint, it was a very good looking game. It played well. I only really encountered one minor bug during the entire demo, and it's a whole lot of game. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty good.
Nice. What about you, Reese? What have you been up to recently?
Same thing as Wes. Switch back. Actually, Saints and Sinners Chapter 2, man. That game is amazing. The haptics, the way that those, I still can't get over the way that hatchet thing feels. Like, it just, like, you can just, it's totally different. And so that's the game that I keep thinking about. Besides Vertigo 2, that game is a gem, and so far it's my game of the year, probably across all platforms. And so we'll see how things change by the end of the year, but Zach, man, you nailed it. I can't believe how good that game is.
If he's in the chat,
yeah, if you're out there somewhere,
yeah. Out there somewhere. What about you, Skeever? What you been up to? What you been playing?
Man, I've been up to a lot. So, you know, I went to South by Southwest in Austin. And from there, I went to the Ghost of Tabor launch party in Orlando, Florida, where I get to hang out with a couple of folks here in this chat. Then I went over to GDC in San Francisco, California. And then finally over to the Amusement Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada. All which had extremely heavy VR presence. It was VR everywhere. There was all kinds of cool new games. One of the coolest games I played was a game called Escape. And it was a mixed reality experience. Like, imagine Astrobot in your room. Like, it was really, really cool. And I wish this was coming out like really soon to the public, but unfortunately it's coming to arcades first. And I'm curious if that's, you know, that might be because arcades will spend more time on, you know, on the actual environment that the player will play in. Right? Kind of like Brad was saying, it might be a little tough. You know, if someone's in like a really tiny room, you know, think space constraints in like Asia and some other countries where it's just, you know, people are generally living in a much smaller space. So it's going to be harder to get the same really good experience. But, you know, if you have a good sized play space, this was one of the coolest MR games probably the coolest one I've ever played, or at least really, really close. So that was great.
Gameplay like?
It's literally like Astrobot, but it uses like surfaces in your room. It, you know, it continuously draws out new little levels, and you're kind of like in your character's third person, but it's also co-op. So there was four of us playing, and we were walking around this space, all kind of following around our character, getting in air vehicles, helicopters flying around, people on the ground battling like bosses, and like it was so amazing. It was really, really good. I can't wait for this game to be available for everyone to play. I'm not sure when that will be, but it was killer, absolutely killer. When I came home, I finally got to play a little bit of Switchback. And I finally finished Resident Evil 8, which, wow. Resident Evil 8, my God, that game is so good. Like,
yeah, I haven't
mind-bogglingly good.
I love the game. Like, I've only played it flat, fully. I haven't played it all the way through in VR. I'm currently playing Resident Evil 4 and I thought I would have done it by now, but I'm playing it on the hardest mode, and it's fucking kicking my ass in some ways. Oh, dude, it's so like annoying. But I can't wait to play that in VR. And I really hope the whole game comes to VR, dude. That'd be absolutely
fantastic. Me too. Me too.
Have you tried the Prey Dog mod?
Yeah. I did. I didn't realize that there was like this in the demo, there's like a chainsaw difficulty or something, some sort of really rare difficulty. And funny enough, I fired up the mod and that's the difficulty my video is on. Is this, because I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Like the start screen went all funny. And then, yeah, I did a video on the demo, though. As far as I know, the mod is a little bit better now, but it's still in third person, isn't it? Or they recommend.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool, but I'd love to try it in first person.
I'm so stoked. I cannot wait for the official version to come out. Like, I'm doing the same thing with that I did with Resident Evil 8. I held off on every piece of video content, everything with Resident Evil 8. I didn't play the mod because I really wanted to play it the way the developer, you know, kind of was hoping we would be able to play it. And man, it was just so good. So I really want to have that Resident Evil 4 experience in that way too, which Resident Evil 4 on the Quest, I went through it 2 times. Like, I liked it so much. I went through that game 2 times. It was just so good.
It's so much quicker in VR as well. Like, yeah. Now I play Resident Evil 4 on a console, it feels slow and clunky. But in VR, dude, that game is, like, really fast.
It's really good. The gunplay is fantastic. Resident Evil 4 originally, I didn't love it because the controls, I didn't like the controls. Like, I didn't like that you couldn't move really when you were shooting.
That's right.
There wasn't really any strafing. It was a really weird control scheme. And I never, it always really bothered me. But in VR, it was phenomenal.
Do you know what it was? I think it was the transition from the original Resident Evils where it was like a third person fixed camera. And you moved the player around that space, and then Resident Evil 4 come out, and it was like you have to hold a button to run, and when you get there, then you like pivot for your shooting kind of thing. And I think in Resident Evil 4, you can choose that control method still in VR if you wanted. Why you want that, I don't know, but it is there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see, you know, some people, that game was like really what got them into video games, right? That game was so well received. Yeah. So I can see there being a version for the people that want to have that same experience that they fell in love with when they were younger. You know, for me, I loved playing it first person, you know, with full controls. I thought it was phenomenal. And so was 8, right? Like Resident Evil 7 was my favorite VR game. I mean, my favorite Resident Evil VR game. You know, but man, having hands, right? Like, remember the gun was stuck to your face kind of in Resident Evil 7. And that game was terrifying and it was beautiful all at the same time. And man, Resident Evil 8 is that too, right? There's like 4 or 5 different main parts of the game and they're all so vastly different, you know, from the dollhouse to the castle to like all of these different sections.
I'd love to see that dollhouse in the headset.
That was crazy. So, I got to tell you, man, during that dollhouse, I had to take my headset off multiple times and like pace for like 20, 30 minutes and like regain like my sanity. I have never been so terrified in VR, like ever.
That's so cool.
It scared the crap out of me. It's so bad.
I love it. It's weird because I know some people don't want to experience horror or going underwater. Yeah, I mean, everyone's got those fears, those real world fears that when they're in VR, they're the same, you know, they have the same like effects on people. If you can push through that, I think you can have some amazing experiences in virtual reality, you know.
But you can. And I don't do horror usually in VR because it's too much.
Yeah.
But when you have a game that's as good as Resident Evil, where they take so much time with every detail in that game, like it is truly AAA, right? And just, you know, the gunplay in that, they had a great combination of like story and combat in Resident Evil 8, which was just so good. The shotgun felt amazing. All the guns felt incredible. The sniper rifle felt killer. It was all just so good. It was very well-rounded in every way. So I pushed myself through it, even though I don't normally do horror games. I have a hard time with things like the Paranormal Activity game and Phasmophobia, anything that's like kind of ghosty really like gets to me.
Yeah. So what is like everyone's scary game here? What's the scariest game you've done in VR?
Phasmophobia was not scary to me at all. I still don't get how people
have you
get
played that on your
that.
Own though. Have you played it on your own?
I don't know, on my own together. I don't know. This is my thing for the most part. If I'm going to VR or into a game, it just, I need to feel like there's something like that where Phasmophobia, where it's just, I don't know. It's just not scary to me. I feel like it's got to be something that's really outside the norm. And I don't know. My mind tells me it's not real. And so I'm really going to be scared of something that's not real. I don't know.
I think that multiplayer breaks the scare factor in horror games. Like it's fun to experience with your friends, but having people there with you gives you like false bravery that you wouldn't have in a room by yourself.
I agree there. I can't get into Phasmophobia by myself. It's too much for me, but I have a genuine fear of the paranormal.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It really, really gets me.
Afflicted the Manor is like literally a jump scare machine. So when I played that game, I audibly screamed more than any other game I've ever played, because I just feel like it just sets you up for that over and over again. But Propagation VR, when I played that for the first time by myself, I was fighting my fight or flight response for like the majority of the experience. I was like really questioning whether or not I could do it. And I'm like thinking about taking the headset off, and I'm like, Roots, I'm like, no, like, what do you mean? Like, I can do this, you know, like, this is no problem. But like, I really had to dig deep to get through that.
Yeah, dude, that is, I mean, on PC, the graphical detail is incredible.
Yeah.
And for anyone who loves House of the Dead, like, go and download Propagation. It's so bloody good. But when the boss appears, like above you, do you remember that bit?
Yeah,
dude, I wanted to crouch down to the floor so low. Like, it was insane. That was so good.
The visuals are amazing, and the audio is amazing too. Like hearing like the slapping wet feet running at you through the subway. Like,
You just reminded me that well over a year ago, Bradley was a tour guide for me, Viper, and VR Oasis for Phasmophobia. And like, Viper had the thing of like, I'm not scared. Yeah, I'm not scared. And he just, but I kept thinking, this guy just keeps talking shit. He does talk a lot of shit actually, constantly. But I kept thinking, he keeps talking a lot of shit, so he might be scared. You know, people just talk because they're scared. So me and Mike were like, right, we're just gonna stick with Brad. Just stay with him, see what's going on. And there's a bit where Viper's like, fuck you guys, I'm gonna go and do this all on my own, capture this ghost. Like, literally, I think he walks away for how long, Brad? Like, I don't know, 20 seconds?
Yeah.
he walks off into the darkness, dude, and you just hear him run back going, nope, 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 nope. Oh, such a knob. And then later on, from that point on, he was terrified. Basically, the ghost, like, when you feel your heartbeat, isn't it, Phasmophobia? It's a heartbeat thing, isn't it? You know, it's going to get you. We all felt something, and he jumps into a jail cell, and he shuts the door to lock himself in to save himself and leave me outside. And I'm like, you fucking chicken. Like, let me in. You got to help me. And he was like, no, dude, I can't. Like that's me done. I love games like that. Like, that's
the haptics in that, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, be haptics. Oh.
Yeah, like you feel your heart beating, or if you wear the facial haptics and you feel the ghost breathe on your face.
Oh, fuck that.
Dude, I can't even handle it.
I have basically zero clue how to actually play that game. Like, every time I go in there, I'm just like going into somebody's truck. I'm like, yeah, let me get some salt, and I don't know what this is, but I'll bring it. And I always end up, every single time, backed into a corner waiting for death. Like, I go in there and I'm just like, I can't move, and I get petrified, and I just wait for the ghost to come and kill me because I just can't handle it anymore.
Is there really salt in there, or is that just something you're throwing out?
Yeah, you can do like a salt ring on the ground to, like, I don't even know what it does. I literally have no clue how to play it.
Brad might know. I'll be sure.
Oh.
You use a salt ring to, if the ghosts walk in the salt, you can see their footsteps, some of them.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I get it, though. If you're not scared, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I use the salt to make a really bomb-ass fried rice.
Yeah, dude, or like around the edges of your margarita. Oh, my God, that's so good.
How's it doing, everyone in chat? Someone mentioned that Alien Isolation VR mod is supposed to be very scary. I think it is, especially when that alien first ever pierces you through the chest in VR. You see the tail, like you hear the feet, and then that is so cool. Like, I loved that game on, I think it was PS4, PS3. I don't know how old that game is now. But playing it in VR is amazing. Like, you haven't got touch controllers, but it's incredible to play.
I think one of the only games I've been scared in VR, to be honest, is Resident Evil 7. And just the way that Jack pursues you and the way that all of a sudden he is just there and you're like now running for your life. The way they did that actually was done very well. And it actually did elicit fear in me.
There was a conversation
about scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, Resident Evil 7 versus Resident Evil 8. Like, people ask, do you need to play 7 to play 8? Are they similar? Like, for me, Resident Evil 7 was more of like a mental scare, you know? Like, Resident Evil 8 is like more action, like a lot more action, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, and they do reference Resident Evil 7 a lot as far as the story goes, but you could just go through 8 and be completely content without ever playing 7.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, it was how many different types of environments, right? You kind of get used to one environment and then all of a sudden you're in something completely different. And all equally terrifying. I mean, besides the dollhouse, that was almost too much. But Roots, have you played it yet?
I can't get past the lichen in the beginning, man. I need to get it back in there because somebody told me to shoot their knees and that would solve it. And then Wes warned me that does not solve it. But they overwhelm. I got further playing flat. But yeah, no, I need to get back in there, and because that game is actually really good, and I own it, so why not, right?
Super good.
It's probably the best game right now. That's probably
agreed.
As far as I remember, like with that particular bit you're on about, is keep on the move, learn a little walking pattern of going up and over a house, coming down the house. You've already got the shotgun. Then you go into the house you just came out of, pull the like rack across to block the door. Then you go like down underneath the house, come out the back of it, and then you go up towards the gateway, and they all come up there. Then you shoot the barrel that blows loads of them up. Then you come back down, you fight for your life for about 2 minutes, and then the boss will appear. But yeah,
did you write that down, Roots?
No, but I'll tell you what, I am going to remember it because I do want to get past that because it's an amazing game. It looks phenomenal.
Stressful. It's a stressful piece for sure because you're just standing there thinking, what the fuck, man? I've got hardly any bullets left. I'm nearly dead.
And I felt like it was never ending. Everywhere I went, they were in my face and I was trying to shoot them. And like you said, I'm running out of bullets. And what really always goes through my mind is Rambo Wes on that stream when he went through, he just was like fucking killing everything and going crazy. And so like, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Because I watched Wes just fucking beat the shit out of these things. And then I'm just running around like I'm a little girl scared. And that's exactly what I was very scared.
Thomas, sorry.
I was going to say, I did play it once, and the cutscene that kind of ends that whole sequence didn't start. I don't know what I did differently, but the big guy appeared, but he was just trying to kill me. You know, the way that sequence ends, spoiler alert, you know, the big guy shows up, knocks you down, then like the bell starts tolling, and then they all go away. But there was one time that I played it on PlayStation VR 2 that just never happened. The big guy came, I kept fighting, and they killed me right there in that same spot in the creek. And then that was it. And I had to start over.
So you're saying the first, normally when he appears for you, he downs you on the floor and then the cutscene happens straight away.
Right.
I wonder if the game works out how much health you've got then. Because every time I've come across that guy, I have to kind of fight and avoid him. Because I've had him kill the lichens for me. Where he swings his hammer, you know it's about to swing, and I would like move out of the way quickly, and it would kill them as well. So I've always fought him. So I do wonder whether the game... That's interesting, because surely Roots is... I don't know. I don't know how that's working then.
Good Roots.
I think I might have been to the point where like Wes was, where I just, for whatever reason, the cutscene just never came, and I just felt like this is just going on forever. Like, what am I doing wrong? So I need to get back in there though.
Yeah, I need to do Resident Evil 8 more so. Any particular games this month you're looking out for, like you're excited about? Does anyone, you know, are you up to date with what's coming out?
Gambit.
I love Gambit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. I love it so much. It's so good.
Have you played it four player?
Yeah.
And it's really good in four player?
It's so good. It's like, to me, it's very similar to After the Fall, right? But, you know, just a different type of enemy instead of zombies. They're like, you know, all these different kinds of cool, you know, crazy, just, I don't know, the enemies in there are just so wacky, right? And you got to all get in there together. That's where that game shines. You got to play multiplayer.
Yeah.
And you got to get through it all together. And it's so good. And the weapon upgrade system is fantastic. It's all around a phenomenal game for me. You just have to kind of know what you're going into, right? All the enemies of certain types do the same kind of thing. So you know, when you see a certain enemy type, how to kind of react to them and how to beat that type of enemy. But you got to get through swarms and swarms of these enemies. And it's just, it's so good. And it looks phenomenal. And then all the little hidden things everywhere. Like I'm the type of guy that really likes to find all like little hidden stuff. And that game just puts stuff everywhere for you to go.
That's so cool. Okay, I didn't know whether I was going to feature it or not. But now, yeah, because I played it on the Quest. And I think I played it on PC as well, but mainly on Quest. And it was okay. You know, it didn't wow me massively. But it was a very, very early build. So, have I played it in multiplayer? I think I might have played it one person, but I mean, so basically I need a full team. And get in there and smash it. Sounds good.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Me and Tribe and Stacks and Creeper Betty usually get in there. And we would, you know, we had pretty early build of the game too, maybe the first two levels. And I mean, we've played those two levels 1,000 times, you know, a lot.
That sounds awesome. Roots, are you on the button? Because Thomas McNostril said, guess who else likes to be pierced in the chest?
Oh yeah, she does.
There you go.
Has anybody played Guardians since Fast Travel has kind of been the publisher? Like, has anybody played a new version of that? Because I loved Guardians back in the day. Like, I always felt like that was kind of like a hidden gem, and it's just constantly adding stuff to the game, and there's so much you can do in it. And I'm curious as to what it's like these days.
I have. I played it and I was going to make a video on it, but I basically kicked it back and said I didn't think it was ready. But this video was going to be like a week before release. So have I been back yet? No, I haven't. But I know the developer's very hard working. I've met him. So yeah, just waiting to jump back in again at some point. I mean, is anyone in the chat got it? I don't know how popular it's.
It's not out yet, right?
Yeah. It's been out for like
2 weeks,
maybe 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh. Damn.
Dude, the best game is Ghost Signal. Like, at the moment, Ghost Signal is incredible. Have any of you played Ghost Signal?
What if you're not into a game like Stellaris at all?
Said it?
Because that's my problem. Is like, I'm not into those type of games. And so, like, it's kind of preventing me from wanting to check it out.
Oh, interesting. So, it's a tactical roguelite sci-fi game, basically. So, it's quite in depth, really. So there's like this ghost signal out there in space, and it knocks like certain parts of your ship out, so you can't like warp away or anything. And like most roguelites, you have to die to come back, and you keep experience and stuff. But every time you do it, you add effects to your ship, or you find components from dead versions of your own ship out in space. And I don't know, like, every time I played it, it was different. And there's also ways of adding permanent negative effects to each run to increase the amount of XP you gain, because ultimately you want to get to the boss. So it's like a shoot 'em up in VR that's a roguelite sci-fi game. And personally, I don't know, like, with the testing I did and the review, I've probably put over 30 hours in it.
Wow.
It's a great, honestly, it's a really good game. And it's also the way that, learning different enemy types. So there's some that like boost and charge at you. Literally, they haven't got weapons. They just knock you. There's some that have lasers. There's some that are fodder. There's some fire missiles. There's some, and you need to like learn how to deal with. You go into a fight and you'll be like, right, these two ships are going to do this. These two ships got that ability. So I need to use my long range lasers, my missiles for this one, my near blasters for that one. Like, I love all that stuff, you know? And then you got to decide what you're going to level up. If you meet space creatures, you can hatch their eggs and use their babies as extra like weapons. For example, they'll fight for you, or you can trade them in to enhance something. Like, it's a really bloody well thought out game. And I'm just glad that no one's really playing it or talking about it, because I think it's really good. Like, really, really, really good.
People are raving about it as far as the reviews from what I've seen. People really love it. Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll have to check that out. I haven't really seen any reviews. I saw some people on Twitter saying like they like it, but they weren't like, these people who say they like it haven't made a video on it. They're just telling people they like it, you know, which is a real shame. So
you know, yes. While we're on fast travel games, I guess I should point out that Everslot Invasion is going to launch this month as well, and I'm equally excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to come out. Yeah. Have you guys played the demo?
No.
Well, not the co-op. Just like the alpha of Everslot.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be good, man. It should be good. Like, it's not like Everslot on PC, though. You know, Everslot on PC was a single player Doom-esque kind of game, wasn't it? And it was graphically gorgeous, obviously, being on PC. But yeah, this is definitely co-op. Like, you can hookshot each other as well. Hookshot off each other. It's pretty fast paced. So yeah, that should be good, man. That should be good. I'm
looking forward to that. Yeah, because like you were saying, on PC, it's just absolutely stunningly gorgeous. To me, it's what Doom VFR should have been, right? So I'm definitely looking forward to trying what they've come up with for the Quest 2 and playing it with friends. I have a hard time. Like, there's so many first-player games, or single-player games, I should say, that I want to play all the time. I have a stack of them I'm dying to get through. But there's always your friends, right, that are like, come on, what are we playing? What are we getting into? And it's really hard to say, well, you know, there's a single-player game I really want to get through. You know, and everyone's, you know,
Vertigo 2.
Get into stuff. Huh?
Vertigo 2?
Dude, I know. Vertigo 2, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, Chapter 2, Switchback. All these games are so many good games. I'm trying to get through the Last Worker. There's just so many games right now and so little time.
You know? The modder, Raikou Parda, is releasing a program that allows you to play any Unity game, any single player Unity game, with multiplayer co-op co-presence. So each player is playing their own, you know, game.
Yeah.
But you can see each other in the game and talk to one another as you play.
I saw that looks crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is everyone like a little ship? Are there any characters or something? I got a bit confused with the video that I was seeing.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video, but for the steals that I saw looked like, yeah, there was some kind of simple avatar that they put on you just so you can see where your friend's at.
What are your guys' thoughts on the Bloomberg article? Like, how do you feel about this 270,000 within a month or so? Ski was up first.
So I think this is about as dumb of an article as you can have, right? So they're pooping all over this. They're telling people, oh man, all doom and gloom, the PlayStation just isn't selling. Well, just like the PS5, it didn't really start selling super well until it was in stores. This has to be available in stores. It's not in Target. It's not a Walmart. It's not even on Amazon. You can't go get this headset in any normal way. Your average typical person that's not in the VR bubble has no idea that they have to go to the PlayStation store specifically to buy this headset, right? This headset will not show numbers until Joe and Sally Walmart can walk into a store and buy the thing. I just don't get this mentality. Like, everyone is always so excited to make everything like a doom and gloom scenario. But man, we will have no idea what this headset's truly going to sell like until you can go buy it. Right? Like, is it just me?
Yeah. And what's funny is that Bloomberg also, I saw on Twitter today, they also put out an article very recently about the Steam Deck and said, hey, Steam Deck has sold a million Steam Decks. It's so successful, blah, blah, blah. And someone on Twitter pointed out that it's been 8 months since that came out. So at that pace, PlayStation would outperform the Steam Deck. But, you know, to your point, it's like all doom and gloom apparently for VR. But that did, then got me thinking, Skiva, like Steam Deck isn't in stores, right? So people are still finding a way to buy that and find it, right? Like if there's a will, there's a way kind of thing.
That is true. And people are still buying the PSVR too, right? There's still 300,000 of them sold, right? So we still have...
better than the Steam Deck.
Right, but
the Steam Deck was marketed. That's the difference. Yeah. There's no marketing for this fucking headset yet. And that's the problem. And I mean, I guess it's not a problem because Sony's going to market it at the end of this year, or I guess starting probably, you know, soon, right? For the end of the year. I believe it's going to turn around by holiday time. It's a pretty good chance.
Yeah. Look, they're still trying to mass produce the PS5, right? They're trying to get these into stores because they know too that this console isn't going to sell and match the PS4's sales until it's in stores, because that's where most of them were sold. It's, you know, there's chip shortages still to this day. Everyone's trying to play catch up, and because Xbox is buying chips, Microsoft's buying chips, Meta's buying chips. So everyone's fighting over all these processors and all the silicone. So they have to be able to produce enough to get these things in stores and be able to sell them. It's just limited quantity and very, just not a user-friendly way to be able to buy these things.
Yeah, obviously. Brad, what do you think?
Yeah. Brad sold his PSVR 2, by the way.
Yeah. But I would like for you to weigh in on this.
I don't think it's a big deal either. I think you guys kind of hit it right on. Like, I think it will grow into its own. I still think it needs even more content to convince the current crowd to buy into this expensive piece of hardware. I think, like you guys said, the unit numbers for what the scale of what they're doing right now is totally acceptable for VR.
Yeah, I thought so. So, like, I didn't know it wasn't available in stores pretty much everywhere. It's literally an online thing. Did not realize that, personally. And it's weird because I remember PSVR being in the shops from day one. 270, I was like, when I read that, I thought, I'm pretty impressed. I thought, that's pretty cool. But I get, if you haven't had the wow experience of VR, like we said before, this was going to be a problem. An add-on is more expensive than the console, and yet it's probably not even got like 3% of the content available on it either. You know, it's, what's the software library of this thing? 40 games. You're like, okay, so I'm buying, I mean, some people might think it's a little bit experimental, you know, it might in them, right. They might think this is a one-off flash in the pan. Like what, you know, VR, PS, you know, I don't know. I was just gutted, but when I read it, I kind of thought it was good news. And then other people flash back to this guy apparently is a hater anyway. And I think people are getting mixed up with the fact that he is definitely steering this stuff into negativity. But I don't think he's been incorrect yet. Like, the very first article was about sales projections. And he basically said sales projections of 2 million are now like being halved or lessened to a certain amount. But the way that article was read or shared was like, oh my God, like PSVR 2 is going to fail and stuff. And Sony replied, production numbers have continued. Like, we are still going to make 2 million of these regardless, which had nothing to do with projected numbers. It was an answer to a question that was never quoted. So I think people need to realize that this guy, it's the way he's speaking, it's what he's saying, his whole perspective on this is negative. To say that a system has been out for a month and a week or something and say it needs a price drop when it's hit nearly 300,000 units is insane.
He's leaving out information.
That's the thing with this guy. His numbers are always correct. But it isn't the numbers what gets everybody upset. It's the conclusions that he jumps to and the negative light that he always tries to paint Sony in. That's what gets people upset. And I get it because, you know, I said the same thing last time. The VR enthusiast community were easy marks. All someone has to do is say anything negative about our favorite thing, and then everybody loses their shit, and subsequently everybody clicks on the article. So as long as we react like this every time, we're going to keep seeing this stuff.
Yeah.
You guys, please stop sharing these articles. If you want to talk about it, take a screenshot. Don't allow this stuff to get click-throughs, because you're feeding the trolls. And when you feed the trolls, it's no bueno. Screenshot it. Don't link it. Like, you know, we can't let this negative stuff pass. It's just not right. It's not accurate. Like, all right, you guys, a lot of you guys have kids, right? GT, I know you do. Wes, I know you do, right? Imagine going into like a parent teacher conference and telling some of the parents there to go get a PSVR 2. What are they going to do? They can go to the store and they can go, oh, they don't have any. That's it. Like, they're not going to be able to buy it. They have no idea how to buy it. They're going to go on Amazon and be like, oh, Amazon doesn't have it.
Well, they got a quest. They got these,
game over.
They got these things called quests on the shelf. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. And they play Beat Saber. Have you had a Beat Saber?
You can get PSVR 1 off the deal.
Brad, you still got something to add to this? I noticed you were piping up.
Two things. One, I agree. By the way, this might be a hot take, but don't put journalists to a higher standard than YouTubers these days. They're clickbaiting just as much as anyone else, and sometimes they might even be taking free content from YouTubers and clickbaiting and making ad revenue of their hard work. But anyway, another thing is... while calling them unethical. But anyway, another thing is there was another article that came out recently that a bunch of people who are very big in components, know how things are priced and everything, they tore down the PSVR2 and they did a BOM cost prediction or estimation based on all the pieces and microcontrollers and everything in the PSVR2. And based on the final BOM cost, I don't think Sony is too upset by these sales numbers, because they are definitely making a profit per hardware, which is way more healthy in a growing market, in my opinion. I know some people might disagree, than just, you know, taking a loss on every unit. So pick your poison. You could have a somewhat slow but still notable launch, and companies actually make money from software and hardware, or you can be the other side where you sell at a loss and no one's using your device and putting them in closets or whatever. And, you know, so yeah.
Laying off 20,000 people in 6 months time. Yeah. Good right. point.
Wow. Oh no, I read that, man. That's
crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. How's everyone doing in chat? Thank you all for being here. If you've got any questions, obviously drop them in. Subjects to talk about. I do apologize if I missed anything. I could say hello to every single one of you because I know you all, obviously. So thank you for being here. And I apologize. I haven't uploaded the audio version of last week because I've been really busy, and I went to Belgium to play Breaches, which I could have kind of played at home, but they decided to take me to Belgium, and I ate an oyster, and it was absolutely revolting, and I do not recommend.
Wait,
anyone,
your first oyster?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, just the thought that I could get sick from it and die, it keeps me away from it.
How? Okay, you tell me why you think it's good.
I will. Because it triggers a memory for me. Like it when you eat an oyster, you get all of this like salt water that to me makes me feel like I'm getting tossed around in a wave on the beach. You know, like it is like straight from the ocean. Like there's something about it that like hits these like, I don't know, like triggers memories, you know, like when you eat something, it like reminds you of your mom's cooking, something like that. Like it brings me somewhere else. It like transports me, and I'm into it. Haven't always been, but the past few years, I had a couple of oysters last night here in Stockholm.
I think you're absolutely,
you know who else
mental.
It triggers a memory for?
Sorry.
Oh yeah.
They do say it's an aphrodisiac.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oysters are like true? Sucking down a big loogie.
Yeah, I'm not big on loogies, man.
Honestly, it looks like a baby alien or something. It's like It does. It actually tastes exactly how Alex described. So funny enough, I was sitting there and someone was like, oh, just swallow it. So I said, what's the point of eating them if you're not going to taste them? So someone else said, no, you do bite it. And it literally, if you've ever been to the seaside and tasted seawater or the sand and thought, do you know what? I'd love to take a bite of that.
Alex,
you should eat oysters. Because
it's not like that.
They are, Alex. They're a horrible texture and they taste very, very bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, usually people that like oysters just swallow them whole, right? And they don't chew them up and enjoy the taste. It's like they get them down as quickly as possible and they put hot sauce and lemon on them and everything to
hide the taste.
Yeah.
I give it like a bite or two, you know, like you don't have to chew it really, right? But like I'll like no, like give it like a bite or two, maybe like a three chew, and then it goes down. I mean, for the record, I can totally understand where you're coming from here.
Thank you.
But I'm not the only one, right? They're on fucking menus across the world, you know, and they're expensive too, and people buy them. So somebody out there can relate to me right now.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Any of it makes no sense to me at all. I was like, they come out on this amazing platter and everyone's like eating them. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is actually happening? I'm sorry.
It's like eating the ocean, bro. It's like eating the ocean. And there's something good about it.
I like, I like steamed mussels. They come in like a sauce and I like that. Literally, oysters do just taste like eating the sea, but worse, because it's cold, slimy, chewy, and awful looking. It's not even nice looking, is it?
What does it smell like, though?
I actually don't know.
My mom!
You know what's opposite of all that, though, that's absolutely phenomenal and
ribs.
Wonderful?
Barbecue ribs.
Breachers.
Oh, breachers.
Breachers. Absolutely. Breachers has no business looking as good as it does on mobile hardware. That game is incredible. It's so good.
Absolutely. First time I went in there, I've been in my PSVR2 like obviously constantly recently, and I'll admit it's been hard to wow my eyes recently, you know. I went into Breachers and the first thing I did was like look at the guns and I'm like, oh shit, how did they do that? But it's clear to me when the focus is quest and everything else is better, like they can do other things on other platforms, but we need to focus on quest to get the most out of it. You can actually see the results. Like, it's brilliant. And they've also got a PC social screen as well for people who are like, if you've got a quest and, you know, quest content doesn't always look good on social screens. So you can do a PC client to show your quest gameplay at the same time, which is such a great idea. That's a really good idea, dude. You know, it's almost like literally answering a problem for most people. You know, they're like, I don't stream from quest. Why? Because it looks like crap. It sounds like crap. It's not easy to do. And a number of things. Hopefully Quest 3, Meta are going to actually try and think of the people who push this stuff for them constantly all year round and make it easy for us.
You love the alpha.
I did. It was really, really, really good. And I'm wondering, did you see anything when you were there in Belgium that like people who played the alpha haven't seen, like a new level, new weapons or items, like anything like that?
I would say all of the above.
Sweet.
Yeah,
Alex, do you think you like Breachers more than Zero Hour?
No, because he's got retro feelings, isn't he? He's got retro feelings for Firewall. So
but this is the thing: if Breachers is gonna, the fact that he's saying it's good is telling you something. But maybe it's gonna be better. Maybe that you get, once you play enough of it, you're like, man, I loved Firewall Zero Hour, but this is fucking amazing.
So I will say probably, I think it's a better game, you know, like the way that you get into the matches super fast is really, really nice. All the tools and gadgets that you can use are just blow everything that was in Firewall Zero Hour out of the water. Like when you deploy a drone, now you're a first person drone and you go into the building and you're scouting it out and you're sharing that with your team. You're like, okay, there's three around the corner here, one over here, let's go. Boom, two people bust in from the sides. Like that stuff is amazing. So, but we know that Firewall Ultra is coming soon, right? First Contact Entertainment's been hard at work for years on this game. And to say that it's going to be better than that, I will be doubtful. I think that the new Firewall will, I'll probably prefer just because I think they are capable of making an amazing game. But if you're going to compare Zero Hour to Breachers, Breachers probably edges it out.
Thank you ever so much to Man Bear Pig Game Cat. Man Bear Pig Cat. Thank you ever so much for the donation. He says GameTech VR donates blood. No worries, dude. I'm on my 25th donation. Woo! Do you guys give blood? Anyone here?
I fail every time.
Sorry?
I've tried like three times, and every time they like fail to get enough out of me.
Because your blood's, I think, like, your blood's so special, it doesn't want to leave.
I actually am a universal donor too, which is a bummer, but like I clot up really fast, and it just like they like get half a bag and they're like, dude, I don't know, we can't get any more out of you.
Oh dude, they're trying to squeeze you like a sponge. Did you say you donate, Wes?
No.
Oh, so I thought someone else said they did. Sorry. Does it?
I do.
Skiva does.
Yeah, I try to as much as I can. I've dozens and dozens of times.
Oh wow, yeah. You're right, Brad. You got doggo. Dude,
your pup is so cute.
Yeah, he's fine.
Looks like the Dogecoin dog.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which was all over Twitter today. They replaced the Twitter icon with the Dogecoin icon, which was very interesting.
Is that real?
He said he promised he was going to do it, and so he did it.
Thanks for calling it out, because I thought I was losing my mind when I saw him.
I thought it was like, did Brad hack Twitter? What the hell?
It was a little weird, right?
Putting his dog on there.
He is in Vertigo too, though. My dog.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. He's one of the Easter eggs. You can find him. You know the starting area with the big lake? You do the shooting tutorial.
Yeah.
If you go across the lake, you'll find a 3D model you can pick up and take with you.
He's got lovely eyes.
Your dog, not like a lookalike of the same breed. It's actual Peanut.
It's a 3D scan of the nut. Yep.
Damn.
That's amazing. I'm going looking for that thing. That's awesome.
What's his name?
Peanut.
Peanut. We're going to be looking for Peanut.
Yep. Look for that nut.
You know who else loves to look for the nut?
There you go. Yeah.
She's always
looking for it. She does.
I might have to get that soundbite on here, like, just for when you guys are here, so it comes through nice and clear. What was I going
to
say?
I can't wait to play Vertigo 2. I'm looking forward to that.
The weapons are sick, dude. I'd done a video, and I was very lucky. I had all the weapons unlocked. And there's, like, this rail gun thing that you put, like, big shells in. Oh, fucking hell, that's so cool.
I love the humor in the game. It's almost got like an accounting plus Trover type of humor. It's a lot, you know, more, you know, fewer and far between. It's not constant, but there's some funny stuff in that game, man.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what was the games we had before where the guy's in the chair and you're in a chair, sorry, and you guys got a lightsaber. Oh my God, what is that game? Trover. Yeah. It reminds me of that kind of humor, some of the stuff,
right?
Like with Brad spraying the eyeballs with the milk or whatever that was. That was fucking weird.
Has anyone gotten through Vertigo 2 all the way yet?
Almost.
No, not about halfway.
Yeah. Do we know how many hours that game is? About.
It's like four to six at least. It's pretty long.
It's much longer than that. Let's see. There are 18 levels, I think. And I would say 10 to 12 hours probably.
Nice. Oh, I can't wait. The question is, what do I play? What do I really dive into first? Do I go Vertigo? Do I go Saints and Sinners Chapter 2?
That's the dilemma, man.
Man.
I know what I'd vote for personally. Not, and I don't know. I'd go chapter two personally. I'm really enjoying chapter two. Saints and Sinners more. Like, a lot of people said to me the first one was a better game, but I prefer the action of two, Saints and Sinners two, especially when some of the missions are like at night. It's fucking mental. It's so hard. It's really hard. It's really good.
Yeah. So here's another question then. Would you play it on PSVR 2 or would you play it on PC? Because I've always played these on PC, you know, with my with the graphics cranked all the way up and it looks so good. But there's the haptics and the triggers and all the stuff that goes along with PSVR 2.
It's better on PSVR 2, hands down.
Yeah, PSVR 2.
All right. Done deal.
They've optimized that.
It'll blow you away.
So well, man. Native 90 hertz. And it looks just sick.
The way the weapons feel when they're going into the zombies is just insane to me.
It's really good. It's really good. I was shocked, dude. Like, I spent, before I made like this impressions video, I was really trying to get my PC to look as good as that. And admittedly, I'm using a Quest 2 for that, you know, like the extra FOV and stuff. But I still think my Quest 2 looks good visually. You know, I like the clarity of it. I'm not put off by it. But I could not get the game to feel as smooth. It was so smooth. What's this? Sorry, Artful. What's he say? The My Mum shout out is now our VR meme. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It's like your meme then. Yeah, I don't want to steal that. I'm not trying to steal it. I just thought, because when Roots does it.
Virtual strangers, y'all.
Yeah. When
it
comes
open source. It's open source. You know, as much as we do it, like, I think Eric and Todd I think they probably do it twice as much as we do now.
Even in real life, too. Like, you're walking around with those guys and they're dropping it constantly.
yeah.
You started something, Wes.
They got like the little sound clip on their key ring.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
Oh, Brad's flipped over. Oh my god, what's he doing? Is he watching his?
He's showing his view.
That is so cool.
We were asking earlier, so I thought I would just pop it up real quick.
You look like you're in a lovely bar or something.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like Japanese cyberpunkish sort of world.
The desk is
like,
clear. Nothing on your desk. Pretty. It's nice and clear.
Nothing on my desk. Nothing on my desk. Yep.
You don't have our call full screened on your Discord window. Like, you're sitting like with most of it covered by a chat that's just us joining the call together.
Yeah. I got that in the background. That's like even larger over there.
Oh, I see it over there. Okay. Yeah. Nice, dude.
Very large. Large and in charge people over there.
In the future.
Oh, Alex, dude, you're flexing, man.
You know, I was large and in charge for a minute there.
Nice. So what's your plans after this show, guys? What are you doing? Let me know. What are you doing?
Switchback. I'm starting a new Switchback game because I just got the code from Wes, from the developer, and I'm going to start my game over because I was playing it before, but excited to try my own game.
Has it been updated yet? Does anyone know? Has anyone heard anything? Because they put out their like community post, then it all went quiet.
I want to say no, but I will say the last time that I was in it, which was 2 days ago, I was kind of looking for the blurry visuals. That didn't seem as prominent. Now, that could just be my eyes adjusting to it, but like I was like, where are these bad graphics that everyone keeps talking about? This looks awesome.
Yeah, like I said the other week, it's so weird. It's so weird how that game went down and the problems it caused. Because I feel there's some people out there who now have missed that game because of all that. Yeah. You know,
unfortunate because I've had about as much fun playing that as anything. I mean, I really enjoyed it and put a lot of time into it.
I do get the idea of. There's bits between that are too long, you know, where nothing is happening. I do get that. It was almost like they decided to do fillers in between bits, you know. But it's a great game, I think, personally.
I can't wait tonight. I'm going into... I'm going to start my night with one of my all-time favorite VR games, which I didn't see coming before this game. You know, it's funny, right? Like, a game hits and you're like, oh... I wonder what that game's like. And then it ends up being like one of your favorite games. Man, Ghosts of Tabor has like,
I knew he's gonna say just that,
taken over my life, like my VR life. It's so freaking good. It's like, it's this like sick, like serotonin burst every time you like make it out of one of those places with all of this crazy gear, right? And it like, it's just the best feeling in the world. So that game, I'm gonna start off with that game, and I'm gonna go into Saints and Sinners chapter two.
Now imagine how brutal it's gonna be when they wipe.
I know, a couple days.
Haven't they already done that though before? Haven't they already done that before?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's wiping more now than it will come the final release of the game. But I believe the next wipe, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this yet, but it's Friday.
Yeah, I don't.
Am I not supposed to say that? Exclusive for the people right here.
Hey, Skiva. So Ghost of Tabor, right? Like, you know, that my qualm with it was that like party chat was like not really a working thing, right? Because proximity matters so much and everybody's just in a Discord call. Is that still how you're doing it? Like jumping into a Discord call with everybody and then getting in there, or is there something?
So it depends. It depends on the people I'm playing with, right? Because a lot of the people I play with, they're in a Discord call no matter what. You know what I mean? But some people I play with, we only use the in-game chat, which is better because then if you like need to talk to them, you need to go back and find them. So if you kind of get off in a place by yourself, you need to go find your friends again. So playing this game with its in-game chat, in my opinion, is the most immersive and best way to play, because then you're literally whispering, you're watching what you say, because you know if someone's around the corner, they can hear you, right? It's almost a little cheat to play with Discord. But yeah, but then again, Escape from Tarkov, right? You have to play in Discord. So I don't know. It is what it is. I prefer in-game though.
See, well, maybe I'll join you after the show, because I don't know if I'm quite ready to go to bed. I've got my Quest 2. I got a laptop here that can run it on it. Nice. So maybe I'll join.
I enjoyed Ghost of Tabor, but there's definitely a learning curve, which is cool.
Mm. A huge learning curve.
Yeah. The setup process can be really painful, but I still need to learn the favorite system. And obviously that's going to be key, isn't it? Where you can just make like your favorite weapon, buy it, favorite that weapon, and then always just get that weapon redelivered. That's what I want. But to be honest, like playing Ghost of the Ball gives me like, how can I explain this? I really enjoy it, but it always makes me think of what it could be better with. So I want, like, for raids, different value weapons, you know, like elite guns, you know, or heroic guns, you know, stuff like, you know what I'm saying, like a purple gun, a green gun, a blue gun. There's got to be a reason for me to want to go somewhere, kill some people to get this fucking blueprint, for example, for this like rare exotic. Like, I want that, because for me personally, I love the game, but the pull of just getting gear to have gear is not enough for me, and I don't know why. I don't know why that is.
It should have progression down the road, right? Because they already have like quests and stuff, and they're trying to be more kind of like Tarkov. And Tarkov has so many different layers of things that you're building towards. And like, just for instance, in Tarkov, you can't even access the auction house until you're like level 15 or something, and you're very gimped by doing that. So you're trying to level just to be able to use your auction house and actually open up things, and you're buying scav boxes that give you like three times the space where you can put all this shit in there, but it's like a million ruples or whatever you're buying. So there's a lot of things that are going on in Escape from Tarkov that I'm hoping get brought into Ghost of Tabor, because my only problem with Ghost of Tabor is there's not enough of it. Like, I would never, I love Escape from Tarkov, I would never have played it 3 years ago when there was only two maps. Now there's like 10 of them, and so like, I feel like, at least for me as a person that loves Escape from Tarkov, I see what Ghost of Tabor is going to be down the road, and it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. It's just not, it's going to be a time before it gets to that point, and I'm impatient.
So right now, I will tell you right now, they are intentionally making all the weapon unlocks very easy because they need to test them. And the only way to test these weapons in mass settings is to have people using them. So in the alpha and the beta, they're making it really easy to unlock this stuff and pretty much giving you access because they need people using this stuff, right? When the game releases and it's 1.0 and it goes gold, whatever you call it, right? All that stuff is going to be much, much different. You're going to have to farm food. You're going to have to drink during the raids if you're going to be in there for a long time. You're going to need to find food and unlock, do some of the harder challenges to get to the things in the marketplaces that you're going to want to eventually get to, some of the more highly powered weapons, right? Plus their roadmap for their maps is very, very aggressive. You know, I see developers saying all the time, like, we're going to add this, this, and this, right? And I really hope, you know, they're very much like that. They have this, like, insane roadmap of what they want to accomplish as far as how many maps are coming and when it's going to happen. And I hope they can pull it off, right? And the way this team is working, I think they just might, but only time will tell. There's going to be a lot more to this game, you know, within the next 6 months to a year than there is right now in its current state.
It's already amazing.
PSVR 2 launch.
Yeah.
PSVR 2 launch. That's going to be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, every time I play it, it's so good. It just makes me want more. Like, I really hope they do this. I really hope they do that. And when we get into those situations, like when you meet someone out in the field, that's when it shines for me. You just come across someone. Is my daughter? Hey, come back in. Yeah, when you come across someone, dude, out there in whatever map, and that worst situation is where they haven't got a gun and they want to talk to you, you know, and like, oh, please don't kill me. I haven't got a gun. And you're just thinking, are you fucking around with me? Like, you know, you're going to kill me if I put my gun down for a second. And I've seen people making TikToks of this stuff where they pretend, and I love all that. I'm just not that. I would feel guilty for killing someone who's probably unarmed. Or telling the truth, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't be like...
Snow Toad! Memberships flying in hot, baby.
Whoa!
And Bradley took one of them.
Nice.
Brad?
I didn't mean to. Now it happened again.
Damn it. Well, Kent, you're already a member.
He's so legit. He literally walks around with a brand new VR headset on. Like, he's pimped out. He's like,
all you need now to complete the ensemble, Brad, is your chromatic aberration hat, wherever it went.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That is so cool. Yeah, the Marty McFly hat. Thank you very much for that, Snow Toad. I really appreciate that, dude. I was meant to meet the Snow Toad family at the weekend, and somehow, I don't know how, I missed them. And I was with my daughter, and she was like, I said, I'm meeting my friends. I was like, what's their names? I said, Snow Toads. She was like, what?
Thank you, Snow Toad.
Dude, thank you, Snow Toad.
Now you might look like back wear a hat.
Dude, like, that's actually kind of amazing. You're just like casually wearing a hat while wearing that headset.
What's up?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God, you look so cool.
He looks like the young Marty McFly, right? Or the Marty McFly's son from the future.
Oh, what, the dweeby one? The dweeby one with the jacket that doesn't do up properly. I love that film.
Exactly.
I love that film. Brad, are you gonna like get the rest of the gear, or is this just the hat? Like,
I don't know. I've had this hat for like almost 10 years now, but it's making me think about it more. That's for sure.
How did you get it?
Oh, frick! There used to be a store called Think Geek. It was like, I think it's owned by GameStop now, but
Geek.
Yeah. And they had a whole brick and mortar store, and I went on their grand opening here and I saw the hat. I'm like, I ain't leaving without it.
It's so awesome.
That place was amazing. I loved that store.
It was awesome.
It was online only first, right? And then they opened a brick and mortar or two, right? Yeah. That place was awesome. I've spent way too much there.
I've never ever heard of it. No, I don't think it ever came to the UK, unfortunately. But yeah, cool. Well, guys, thank you ever so much for another fantastic show. Thank you for all getting together. I'm sure we'll be back next Monday. Sorry Mash wasn't here. I didn't explain. He's away on business, doing bits and bobs like that. Guy's working really hard. So yeah, hopefully the whole crew will be back soon. Thinking about bringing some developers on. Start doing some developer interviews as well, because they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Always.
I think we need to do that. Wolf Raza says, I truly do not understand the whole please don't shoot me aspects of any shooter, fake or not. people die before they know I'm there in shooters. It's a different feeling in Ghosts, isn't it? It's not like Call of Duty. It's not like... How can I explain it? How can you explain that engagement? Like,
it's an interesting one, right? Because you're out there in the field and some people, you run across them and they don't have weapons, or they're by themselves, right? And they're just kind of looking for a squad too. So you can kind of come up with these partnerships, have someone join your squad and like strengthen yourself in numbers. Sometimes people have valuable, you know, maybe they have a key card and, you know, you can, you know, to open those doors that just have like massive amounts of loot in them. And then everyone can kind of share. I mean, it really depends on your play style, but that's what's beautiful about this game is you can befriend people and strengthen your entire squad and get out of there. You know, if you have a ton more people, you're all going to get out probably. And if someone dies, they're going to carry some of your gear out for you and then give it to you.
I never even thought of that.
There's, yeah, you can like pile everyone's stuff in their backpack and just carry their backpack out with all their stuff.
That's right? Insane.
I mean, besides a lot of the guns. So there's a lot of, there's advantages, there's disadvantages.
I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's for different size backpacks.
There is already. There's two right now, and there's more possibly coming. Yeah. But one of them you can store an extra like rifle in as well. And it's just way, way bigger. So right now there's two. There's the standard one.
Dude, I want to put like, I want to be able to like store pistols on the outside of my legs. You know, I want to like, you know, those bits in those films where they say, by the way, you got to leave all your guns here. And you end up like seeing this bit where they put all the guns across. It ends up like being 10 guns. Like that's how I want to be in Ghost of the Boar. Just like dropping a whole army of stuff.
When I was in there, I came across a random who like didn't have weapons and stuff, and I started lighting him up, and he like acted like I committed an atrocity. You know, he gave me such a hard time. He was like, he's like, dude, what the hell, man? Why are you shooting me? I'm like, what do you mean? So I stopped shooting him because I'm like getting used to the game and like, I don't know, am I doing something wrong here? Like, you should be dead, right? But then I just let him run around with me for a while instead. But he was like pissed that I was shooting at him, which I was taken aback by.
Did you tell him when he turned his back? Oh.
Yeah. When I hear stuff like this, it makes me want, like we're getting our Tarkov in VR. We need Rust. We need Rust in VR. That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Cool. It's going to happen, dude. I still think we've got to have faith in the games that are going to be coming. You know? It's going to be happening.
I want it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I want it all as well. Truth is, I've got so many games to play at the moment. Like, you know.
It's too much, right?
Yeah.
There's too many games right
And yet
now.
The feeling out there is there isn't enough games. Which is, I don't know, dude.
I still haven't made it halfway through my PS2 library.
Yeah, I have way too much to play.
Like there are games like Zombieland and Song in the Smoke and all these different PSVR 2 ports that I haven't even picked up yet. Like, and here's my next 3 days. You know, we're doing Game of the Month on Wednesday. Woo! I'm going to try to finish Vertigo. I'm going to put some major time into The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Chapter 2. And then I'm going to try to fit The Last Worker in there somewhere. But I don't know how I'm going to do it. But that's the plan.
If there's anything on that list, I would say don't feel guilty about leaving it. It'd be The Last Worker, but I get it. But yeah,
well, what's the Oculus Quest game of the month? That's the question.
For me, it'd be Ghost Signal, unless you know else.
Oh, I got to hit up Andreas, man. I haven't even played Ghost Signal. You're probably right. We're probably missing out on the best game on Quest this past month.
I fucking love
that. Another one on top there, Wes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, because that would have flown completely over my head until Wednesday rolled around, and I'm like,
I don't know whether it's the store art or the trailers or something. Where
it's the genre, because this genre is typically boring outside of VR, you know. And I think that as we've seen many times in VR, that immersion can completely change a gameplay experience with certain types of games. So yeah, I'll take your word for it, and I will assume that it's very good. And
You might be lucky, dude. I was speaking to Kaz and Cherry. I think it was Kaz and Cherry. Who was it? Someone played Ghost Signal, and within 5 hours they completed it.
And, oh wow!
Yeah. Which is good, but not good in some ways. But there's plenty of things you can do after to make it harder for yourself because it means you haven't unlocked everything. But they got a lucky run, and when they described their lucky run, it was so similar to my review run, because obviously I don't want to review a game without completing it. Like today I done Creed on PSVR2. I burnt 1,000 calories today playing that game to review it. With Go Signal, I did three runs, all unsuccessful. And then the next run, everything just went right for me. And when you play it, you'll know when that run is happening, and you'll be thinking to yourself, dude, if the next like three things happen in the way I hope they will, I'm going to get to the boss. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing can happen. So yeah, it's going to be good. Snowtest is the last worker. Looks awesome. I don't understand why it's getting negative reviews. I did review it.
Artful says it's his game of the year for Quest 2 so far. Wow. GT, what are your thoughts on that?
Wow. For what? What is Last Worker?
Last Worker.
I've heard so many different things about this game. I've heard that it's okay. I've heard that it's great. I've heard that it's terrible. It's crazy, man. Everyone has a different opinion on it.
Yeah, and they should. Like, it is, as I said in my review, when I was playing it, I knew someone out there would like it. Like, there's no two ways about it, because the acting's really good. The script's great. The voice acting's really good. Like,
production, the whole thing is produced so well.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It looks good.
But it just feels, yeah, the art style's great as well. But I just found it so boring. And I don't know, you know, like, I don't know. Literally, I was struggling to stay awake at certain bits. Like, in part of my video, I think I fell asleep for 20 minutes. Because I was just like, I don't know why. And so, I didn't want to.
So far, I'm really liking it. But I'm only in about an hour and a half. And people, I keep hearing that, like, the 2-hour mark is about where it starts to go, maybe downhill a little bit. Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting there and to seeing, right? I just, you know, the voice acting, like we were saying, phenomenal, right? The art style is awesome. It runs amazing on the Quest. I've played it on Steam Quest and PSVR. And it looks so good on the Quest. I can't even believe it. The humor is right up my alley. And I love the whole dystopian thing in this story, right? For anyone that doesn't know, almost like Amazon. This place is called Jungle, or they pronounce it Jungle. So it's kind of a direct play in Amazon, and it gets so big and it's so fully automated that there's no people left. There's over all of these years, everyone's been replaced by automation until there's only one guy left. So it's this one dude in this mix of all of this automation in this mega huge place that services and sells everything, right? So I like that because it's so close to what we're getting. To in real life, you know, but but I don't know as far as past that 2-hour point. I don't know yet. I'm definitely going to get there and see, because so far I'm really enjoying it, you know.
That's so good. I'm really glad anyone enjoys it. I really wanted to enjoy it. I was really hyped for it, especially hearing like a scouser in it, like a northern guy, and you know, just everything. I thought, oh, this would be quite funny, and it starts off really strong. As I said, I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it, and I dreaded every time thinking I had to keep playing it my review. I know. I was just like, why am I not having a good time? Like, I don't know. But I'm glad you're all enjoying it. And everyone's different. Like, I love that. I love that some people enjoy it.
Yeah, I might get another 2 hours in though, and not enjoy it anymore. So we'll see what happens.
Just don't play anymore. Just leave it where it is. Walk away with great memories.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that game's really great. If you never finish it.
You should, anyone out there hasn't heard of this, look up the voice acting crew in this.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be blown away. Yeah. I can't believe the people they got to voice act in this game.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. I do like, too, that we're starting to get, like, actual real actors that are like interested in doing these things, right? So that's pretty cool. It shows we're moving forward in VR in general, you know.
There's too many games that you play now and they feel kind of indie and cheap in some way, you know. And when voice acting is that, like for example, he's talking about what's the game we're all you was talking about earlier that you're looking forward to shooting people with your friends and all that. Not Ghost of the Boar. Comes out this month. Where's you
Gambit?
Gambit. Now, when I watched the trailer of that, I kind of felt like it was, you know, when kids swear. Then I just said fuck. And it was like,
yeah, I feel you. I felt the same way.
Yeah, it was like, let's be edgy and swear. And I kind of watched that trailer and I was just a bit like, am I the only person feeling this? Obviously not now. So
To me has probably the best voice acting in it of any game I've ever played. And it is. It is super edgy. The language is off the wall to the point where, I mean, I feel like they're doing it for the attention. But like each one of the characters has a letter on their back, which starts their name, right? So, but it goes F, U, C, and K, right? So
it's like, yeah, I don't know, like yeah. I'm hoping none of that matters to the game, you know.
Yeah,
I dig it. I like the vibe of the game. I think it's cool. Like, and it's not just the swearing. Like the overall vibe of it is has this kind of punk rock feel to it.
Yeah.
I love the art style, and I think you can spray paint in it and everything. Like you can graffiti, and I do remember that stuff. It is pretty cool. So for the second time, thank you ever so much. I think I do this most weeks, and we lose like 10 or 15 people, and then carry on for half an hour. I've got to stop that, man. How to kill?
They should have learned by now. They shouldn't leave so soon. We're never going to just end it.
That's it.
It's like a Marvel movie. You got to stick around past the credits, guys. You're going to miss stuff.
Nice, cool. Well, thank you ever so much for everyone in chat. Good to see you all. I hope you have a good week since it's Monday. Let me know down below in the comments what you're playing and what you're looking forward to. And thank you to everyone who has joined me again today, the hosts with the most. Thank you. Brad has literally made this like visually more interesting than probably an audio podcast now.
Brad always makes things better.
Yeah, he does. He does, definitely. They should do like
thanks, Brad.
They should do like Brad plasters. If you got like an irritating little lump, just get a little Brad plaster. Put it on there. I just feel lovely afterwards. Right. See you later, guys. Thank you ever so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.